Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Tell Me Your Tales podcast. Thanks for joining me for another week. It's good to have you with me. This week's conversation is with Stephanie Austin. Steph has come on the scene quite impressively the last 12 to 18 months and won some pretty major races, which we talk about in this episode today. Pretty inspirational, just her positive attitude. I call her out on it at one stage there, just how positive she sounds. And we kind of discuss that a bit as well. School holidays at the moment, so things are pretty chilled out at my end. I hope they're the same at your end. Didn't eat too many Easter eggs over Easter, and you're having a fun time. It's good. It's good. The weather's good. The run's good, and everyone's pretty happy and stuff. I will have a bit of an announcement for Tell Me Your Tales. Probably up on iTunes. It'll just be me talking for about 10 minutes about some decisions going forward with the podcast in a few days, maybe next week at some stage. But developments there, what I want to share with you guys. But without further ado, please enjoy this conversation with Stephanie Austin. I think you're going to get a lot of inspiration and motivation out of it, and appreciate that Steph gave up some time for the podcast again. And I've talked for way too long, so enjoy this episode with Stephanie Austin. Thanks. Okay, Steph Austin, welcome to Tell Me Your Tales podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
They were just saying off air that it's always good when sometimes I receive one email recommending a guest and I might chase it up then and there. And then with you, though, I've just kept receiving emails the last probably 3 or 4 months, so I knew it was time to make contact with you and try to get you on the show. So I really appreciate giving some time today to have a chat to our audience.
Well, thank you, for having me. It's been a pretty cool last couple of months, and my friend Glenn, our president of our local run club, got me onto your podcast, and I haven't listened to all of them, but I've certainly started. But delighted to be invited to have a bit of a chat. So it's awesome.
Yeah, Glenn's good. I think he's listened to quite a few episodes, and he was the first one who initially emailed me. So it's always good when we can give the listeners exactly what they want to hear as well.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy.
he certainly is. Steph, what I usually get the guests to do is introduce themselves, so feel free to take that any way you please.
Okay. I'm Steph Austin. I run. I do both trail and road. I guess 40 to 50K is sort of my sweet spot at the moment. I'm a physio. I live in Maroombula, but I'm from Lake Macquarie originally. And I work at both the hospital and at a private practice. So I see lots of runners as a physio. And I recently won the 6 foot track. And I'm sponsored by Salomon. So I've been pretty lucky to have an opportunity to do some international races later this year. So just love to run, and lucky that my legs carry me sometimes quicker than other people to the finish line.
I'm sure you put in a lot of training to make the legs go that quick as well, though.
Yes, but it does help if you enjoy it. So I've been very
So, Steph, you said something interesting then about 40 to 50 Ks as a sweet spot. I'm not sure many people would be saying that same thing, maybe 42.2, but, yeah, kind of in that ultra world as well as the road world.
Yeah, so I do really like the trail stuff as well. I did the Dubai Marathon, not as well as I'd like, earlier this year, but I've only done two marathons, but I've done a couple of 50 Ks and a couple of ones that are around that distance. And yeah, that 2 to 4 hour mark is pretty good. I'm definitely a runner, so the idea of going longer and having to hike or be out there all night isn't that appealing yet. So at the moment, I just enjoy running, and I guess I lack that really top end speed. So I've sort of found that, you know, tough course and the hilly stuff is suits me quite well as well. So and it's just a nice way to see, I think, the countryside. So it's good a variety for training too. So yeah, at the moment, yeah, 40 to 50 k's is sort of what I train for and what I really enjoy doing. So 5 k's is a bit of a sprint. So
yeah, right. And you seem, Steph, a bit under the radar until probably this last, you know, 6 to 12 months. I think I first started seeing your name in the results around the Sunshine Coast Marathon time when you come second at the Australian Champs there. And ever since, you've just kind of been popping up more and more. But maybe take us back a bit and where running started for you and the progression.
Yeah, so I always like ran at school, like you just do everything at school. And I actually did tries for quite a while. So it's been quite interesting. Like I raced Ashley Gentle and Jillian and all the ones that have just raced the Commonwealth Games today, they're my age. So I went through school doing tries. I was in the national development squad thing and with N Swiss for them. So I really started, I was a runner and they tried to make me a triathlete. And I think looking back, it's probably built, like it's just built up lots of capacity, even though it sort of burnt me out at the time. But yeah, I spent lots of my, I guess, teenage years doing like sprint distance and Olympic distance triathlons. Went to uni, got glandular fever really bad and just sort of gave the tries away. And with uni, it was much easier just to run, and it was always the thing that I enjoyed doing the most. So being on a physio, like you sort of get, especially as a student, you sort of get placed all over. And for I guess ease of trying to stay fit while at uni, running was just the easiest thing to do. So yeah, and I always enjoyed it. So I was always competitive, like at school and things, but never more than, you know, I'd get to state, and I think I won a couple of medals at the state right at the end of school. But yeah, really, like I think I guess I'm a bit suited to that longer stuff that you don't get into till you're a bit, or you don't, I guess, find that you're quite good at till you're a bit older. So once I gave tries away and just started, instead of spending all my time biking and swimming as well, just running, I sort of found I was good at it, and I really enjoyed it, and it wasn't a chore, and I enjoyed the training. And yeah, then in the past 12 months, I think when you first start full-time work, it sort of knocks you around. I was doing pretty good towards the end of uni, and then like full-time work's a bit of like a tidal wave of like just working 40 hours constantly is like emotionally, mentally, physically exhausting, especially as a physio. So my performance sort of went down a little bit then, but in the last, I guess, yeah, 6 to 12 months, I got a lot more balance back, been able to focus a bit more on my training, and yeah, the results have come, which has been really good. And living, like moving to Maroombilla, which is where I live, and I never knew about trail running or anything like that till I moved here. And a lot of the people here did the ultra trail in Katoomba, and I wanted to be a part of them. I just wanted to join along. So that's how I got into trail running, and yeah, it's just been onwards and upwards since then.
Yeah, so your kind of competing age is pretty young, really, isn't it? Like you've only been in the sport for a short period of time.
Yeah, my first proper trail run was at UTA. They launched a 22K, I think, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was, I guess, my first proper trail event. And, that was pretty cool. The atmosphere at that race was just amazing, and I happened to win. Like, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. Like, you finished on like 1,000 stairs, and I'd heard a lot of people talk about it. I'm like, oh, can't be that bad. But like at the end, you're just walking, like you're hiking up all these stairs, and I'm like, how can I be walking but be in front? Like, this is ridiculous. But after that, I definitely got hooked. So don't want to go much further than 50 at the moment. I'm quite happy with that distance, but definitely liking the trail stuff. But at the same time, have some, I guess, goals still, especially in a road marathon. So I'm lucky I think they complement each other, training for both of them. So, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, and do you find some people, and the listeners will know I don't know a lot about trails and always try to find out more and more, but it seems like it's almost a split that you're rather a trail runner or a road runner, and there's not really that in between section too often, but it seems like you're kind of really pulling that off.
Yeah, I think they really do complement each other. Like, especially I find with my training that, like, to be able to have complete variety, like after I did my marathon, I just went, all right, instead of looking for pace, I just look for vertical, like how much up can I do in a week. I'm not sure. I think, like, I enjoy both. Like, I get a lot out of both, and I know there is a bit of a divide between, you know, people who just do the road and people who just do the trails, but I find both enjoyable, so I would advocate for everyone to give both a go. Don't diss the other side. It's because they certainly complement each other, and I guess the running community these days is so broad, and it's nice to be a part of both. So
and I think we're seeing more of that now as well, people going between the two, and especially some fast guys and girls going over to the trails and then coming back to the roads, which, as you said, complements the training really well.
Yeah. So I think, like, 6 foot, Vlad was the winner, and he obviously does quite a good marathon, like a road marathon time, and obviously very good over the the trail stuff as well. And I think they complement each other. I know that probably there's no Olympics for trail running, so maybe that. From like a young age, and because sometimes it is so extreme, like people go, oh, how can you, like, you know, run for 50Ks, or people who do like the 100Ks, and I think it's until you experience it that you sort of appreciate what it's like. So yeah, I don't know. I like both. I can't decide.
Yeah. It's like picking your favorite son or daughter. I reckon if you're a parent, it'd be hard to split them. I want to get back there later on, but you brought up a point about how getting the balance right straight out of uni was really challenging for you, and I think that's something a lot of runners out there can relate to. Do you maybe want to unpack that a bit in your first year working full time, how you kind of managed to pull it off if you did?
Yeah, I was I think, like, definitely since, like, even from school, like, when I was doing my tries, like, oh, you can't do well at school and do all your sport at the same time. And I was like, oh, I'll show you. And then I got glandular really, like, I did, but then I got, like, glandular really bad afterwards. So I was sort of like, oh, okay, I've got to be a bit more sensible about how I go about, like, trying to don't worry about pleasing everyone. And I think this first year of work was quite hard. I work a split job. So I do 3 hours at a private practice and 2 hours at, 3 days at a private practice and 2 days at a hospital. So it was quite, like, not only, like, you had to have lots of different skills in your brain, like, every day was different, and that was a good thing, but at the same time it was quite tiring, and you just come home at the end of the day and, like, mentally you're exhausted, and I would still just go out and run, but just having, I guess, the ability to push myself, like, to really I always find when you have to do a hard set, you have to sort of be mentally quite on, like, you've got to be willing to suffer to then get those benefits. And if you've had a big day, you just can't, you're just not on, you just can't push yourself. Well, I certainly couldn't push myself as hard. So that first year, I'd say I didn't manage it that well. I was trying to work too much and try to do everything as you do perfect, because, you know, you're a new grad, you want to do everything right. At the same time, I'd moved 8 hours, like, away from all my family. I moved to an area I didn't know anybody. I moved there, though, because I knew that there was a park run. I'm like, if there's a park run, I'm going to be able to make some running friends. I have, which has been so awesome. But, that first year, I just got sick quite a lot. My running performance went down. And I guess that's probably why then I looked at the trail stuff that other people were doing around here and was like, oh, you know, it's not as time-based. Like, it was more, you know, a bit more of an experience, and I guess a bit of a step back from being, oh, I wanted to be quite competitive on the road, but I just wasn't performing. So I just went, oh, let's try something else that might, you know, empower me to feel a little bit better about myself for a little bit. And then, yeah, I think into the second year, I just learnt to say no a little bit more and put my health first. And, yeah, by doing those things and realizing that if I don't put myself like first, in whether it be with my health or with work, that I can't give the best to my clients and I can't really get the best out of myself. So I think that's just a growing up thing. And definitely that's certainly since that first year. And I was lucky I had such a supportive work that wanted to complement my running and would understand that, you know, as a new grad, you try to overdo everything, and they were quite good at drawing lines. So I think a lot of people around me support, like, help me put the brakes on, which is now I'm sort of reaping the benefits now of going, oh, okay, I know what I need to do or how much I can manage and be able to work and be able to perform and do all those things. But I think I'm just one of those people who goes in and like all guns blazing and sort of falls apart a little bit as I go along, but then learns from that. And then, and that's definitely what I've found. I've just learned from the mistakes I made in my first year of doing too much, and then have since then learnt, and I'm just acting on it now and taking care of myself a bit better.
Good. Yeah, that's good you can do that after 1 year, though. Like, I'm sure there's people that have been in their jobs for 10 or 15 years and are still trying to make those adjustments.
Yeah, it's yeah, I think I had to be a little bit I learnt to be just like a little bit selfish, I guess, and I just knew that I wasn't giving. Like, especially as a first year as a physio, like, you just want to help everyone. You want everyone to walk out better. And you just learn that you can't do that. And then I learned that the more that I tried to push myself to do that and spread myself so thinly, the worse everyone's outcomes were. Like, my people weren't getting better. So I learned, all right, it's not about, like, just seeing lots and lots of people and trying to, it's just about trying to deliver quality. I guess it's a bit like training, yeah? You put in lots of junk miles, you're going to get a junk performance. If you like just take a step back and put in a bit more quality, myself as a physio certainly improved. And then I've just applied that then into running and everything else and worked it. Yeah, less junk in, less junk out.
Makes sense. Pretty good message. Yeah. And you think maybe going to the trails and taking kind of the pressure off the splits and the pace and all those kind of things that you're running would have been quite liberating and given you a bit of freedom?
Yeah, and I think it was definitely. And I think that it's just enjoyable too. Like, the thing I've certainly found in trail running is you get to see some pretty cool places and run in some pretty amazing places and not have to worry as much about the time. And it was, yeah, just taking that pressure off, especially in those first 2 years of work, when I sort of went from doing a little bit less road and a little bit more trail, definitely the pressure was off. And I've always enjoyed running, and I was sort of getting to the point where I wasn't enjoying it because I was just going, I'm just going to crap all the time, you know, I'm just getting slower, I'm trying so hard. But then just changing, I guess, the objective, like being, oh, you know, I'm just going to go out and, you know, I'm going to run a distance, or I'm going to do so much up, or I'm just going to enjoy the scenery, has just been quite, it's been quite liberating, I guess. And I've certainly in the last two races that I've done, like 6 foot, and I did a 50K 2 weeks before, I just really enjoyed myself. Like, I pushed myself really hard, but at the same time I was like, I'm so lucky that I can run and I get to run in these great, great places, and I can run relatively well and my legs are working and I'm not injured. And I just, appreciated them a bit more. And, I think that's definitely – I've definitely rekindled my love of running of all different types, which has been really nice.
And such a great way to frame it. Like, I'm sure some of those races are a bit of a suffer fest, and you could really look at the downside of them, but you seem to really embrace the process and enjoy it all.
Yeah, I think you got to learn to love the suffering. I think there's one thing I feel like one of my strengths is I'm certainly not the fastest runner, but I can suffer with the best of them. And I think, and I work in rehab as well at the hospital, and you see people that have some, like, they've had such, I guess, hard cards dealt to them, and you just feel, you know, I'm so lucky that I've got, you know, legs that function and that I get to run, and I think that and that I get to hurt myself in this way, but, you know, it's not a bad thing. So Yeah, I don't know. I've just, certainly in the last 6 months, I feel like I've sort of grown up a little bit, and I've started to appreciate what my body can do rather than just flog myself. And so then when I'm out there, I'm like, you know, this is good pain. Like, I've worked hard, and this is going to, you know, this is taking me places that I never thought I'd get to go. So, you know, it's worth the hurt. So it's good.
Yeah, what a good reminder to put things into perspective, like every couple of days when you see that at work.
Yeah, definitely. I think and they really inspire me, and the other people around me too. The, like, we've got quite a good, like, a growing run club down in Sapphire Coast at the moment, and, you know, we all have, like, everyone sets their goals, and, you know, anyone who runs 50K or runs 42K or just gets out and runs, you know, they're achieving something. So I think trying to take a bit of that mentality, I guess I call it, I guess you'd call it the age group mentality, that, you know, obviously we want to perform our best, but in the end we can only just do the best for ourselves, and we're all out there to achieve our own goals. It doesn't matter if, you know, you're first, you're last, wherever you are, as long as you're out there giving it a go, that's the main thing. So yeah.
Yeah, and you said you moved 7 hours. Did you know anyone when you moved to Maroombula?
Yeah, my housemate, who's also worked the same job. So we were, how our job was advertised is they find it hard to get physios in a rural area. So you could advertise two days at the hospital, 3 days at the same private practice for two different people. So me and Erin, who's my housemate, who's also from Newcastle, and we went to uni together. So I didn't know her very well then, but we both got this job down here. So it was good to have a rental buddy straight away. But otherwise, no, we didn't know anyone in Maroombula.
Yeah, and I asked that because I'm interested, like, you obviously looked up the parkrun before you got there, and you're talking about how you're involved in the running community now, but what was that? I know you've got the parkrun course record with a 17:30 locally, but what was that like the first time you rocked up? A few heads turned?
Yeah, well, I wanted to make an appearance. I was just like, oh, you know, I want to give this a good crack. So, and, like, it's pretty cool, the Maroombula Parkrun, because it's on the boardwalk, which is, like, a really, like, unique place to run. And we had, like, a really nice day. And I was just like, you know, this will be a good way to meet people. And I want to run well. So that was – I hadn't started full-time work then, so I wasn't too tired. So I was able to run quite well on the day. So that was that was good. And now I'm actually one of the directors here at Maroombula, which is really cool. So we've got, and I also do the Bega Park Run, which is like when I work at, for example, this weekend I work at the hospital all weekend, but I still get to do Bega Park Run and I can still get to work in time. So it's been great. It's pretty much how I've met all my friends at the moment. Like tonight we run as a group on a Tuesday night and a Thursday night, and they're all people that I've just met through parkrun. And I guess in those first couple of weeks rocking up, we sort of established, oh, you know, do you want to do some runs together? And we organised times, and yeah, 3 years on, we're still doing the same thing. So it's been really nice.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? Like, an awesome way to meet people. And it's just, I don't know, runners and people that exercise in the community are all just so friendly. Like, I think it doesn't matter what town you go to, you can go to a parkrun and be surrounded by some amazing people.
That's right. I was that was one of my things when I was looking for a job when I finished uni. I was like, it must have a parkrun. And then I was like, oh, this place does. This is perfect. So, yeah, and I've done I used to do Lake Macquarie was my local one back when I lived lived at home. So, and I've done, I think, I'm coming up to my 150th parkrun. I think I've done 12 different ones. I want to do one in each state. So I haven't done that yet, but every time I go anywhere, I'm just like, oh, got to make sure I do the park run. So, and I'm really happy now to, like, in the past year, I became a director as well, just to see how it works behind the scenes. And yeah, it's really nice to give back too. So we were quite lucky. We've got a little park run, so I can volunteer and run at the same time. All the time I'm either finish token or barcode scanner, because there's, like, it's a little one and I'm one of the first ones back. So, but otherwise, yeah, gotta love parkrun, and yeah, being able to go anywhere in Australia and meet some friendly faces. And you're so right about the runners; they're just, you know, all them endorphins make them a pretty friendly bunch, which is lovely.
Yeah. So. What kind of numbers do you get?
Well, I think Last week we broke our record because it was Easter and this is like a little holiday town. I think we had 180.
Oh, that's not little at all. That's good numbers.
Most of the time we have about 50. I think our in the middle of winter we might get down to like 20 or 30. So how many are where you are?
Yeah, I think we average about 95 a week. So yeah, pretty similar kind of town really. Like population kind of doubles when we're got our holidays and school holidays and those kind of things around. But yeah, we launched with 230. That was a big day. And then yeah, pretty consistently around 90, maybe down to 70, 60s in winter.
Yeah, I think that winter, and I know with us in Maroombilla, a lot of people go to the snow, like they relocate up there during the winter, so that drops our numbers a little bit too. But yeah, rain, hail, or shine, it's like it's 400 metres from where I live, so no excuses of me not going.
Yeah.
No, it's very good.
And the run director role, that's gone smoothly for you?
Yeah, I haven't had too many. I was so stressed the first time, like processing the results, and I was holding the stopwatch and I was holding the like the barcode scanner being like, oh, I really hope everything works. But it did. It was very good. So yeah, I really like doing that as well. I don't have the what's it called, I like to be able to help out as well, and I'm part of the local run committee too, just because I think running's giving me so much, so I'm like, I need to learn to give back. So it's just a little thing that you can do. So love parkrun.
And all that stuff's pretty simple too, isn't it? Like it's kind of just follow the directions and it kind of looks a lot harder than it is uploading the results and processing and all that stuff.
That's right. Once you've done it once, you're like, oh, why did I stress? Like it's not too bad at all.
Yeah. I'm still the same though. I get in the car with like the stopwatch around my neck and the scanner and like it's like I'm carrying dynamite or something and I've got to be super careful not to push any buttons and get home in before I can stuff it up.
That's right. I got people's PBs in my hands. I've got to, you know, take care of these things. Mm.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm more scared of, the people who would be on to me if I did make a mistake with the upload.
That's right. But no, they're very cruisy around here, and we've got a really good team of directors, so they're always there to help me out if I mess up. But so thankfully that hasn't happened yet, so we're pretty good.
And have you got the course record at Bega as well, Steph?
Yes, I think so. What
have you run there?
I think it's a bit slower. I think it's a 17. It's in the high 17s, maybe 17:45 or something like that. I think my fastest is like Mac. I think it's 17:17. That was like before I moved, like before I started work. And like, don't get me wrong, I do like work, but it knocked my pace a little bit when I first started.
Yeah. And have you ever, like, before we get into the longer stuff, like, have you ever ran a track 5K or anything like that, or everything's been on the roads?
Yeah, so I did Uni Games. I actually ran against Millie Clark and it was my best ever time. I sat with her for like 10 laps before she kicked away. I think my time was, it wasn't flash, it was like 17:00.3. So I'm not quite in the 16s yet. And it's so, and I'm definitely going to get there. Like that's one of my life goals is I'm like, I need to run a park, like some kind of 5K with a 16 at the front number rather than a 17. So I definitely have some boxes to tick there. And I hope to do that probably in the next, 12 to 18 months, certainly before 2020. But it's a terrible number. I'm like 16:59 looks so much better.
Yeah. No, you're talking to a guy with a marathon PB of 2:20:15. So I know all about those seconds that have just over significant marks in PB times.
Yes. Well, hopefully you'll get there and I'll get there and we'll be laughing then.
Yeah. Well, I want to get to that later on because when I was looking at your schedule today, I think we might be in the same marathon the next time we both start a marathon in Berlin. Would that be right?
Yes, I am. I didn't think I would get in. I didn't know the process of getting into Berlin, so I just sort of put my name in one of the elite thingies, and then they confirmed that I'm in, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. So yeah, my next, or depending on a couple of other events, but yeah, at the moment my next marathon's Berlin. So yes, is that your next one as well?
Yeah, hopefully if everything goes to plan in training and stuff. I've run that the last 2 years and it's just an amazing event. Like it's probably not worth, well, it is worth going to other events, but everything's just perfect there. The course is good, the field's good, the weather is usually good. You can kind of train through our winter and then hit it in the spring, and everything just works for that race with me. I enjoy going there and have PB'd every time I've been there, so I keep going back.
Excellent. So you've got to find 16 seconds and then you'll be very happy.
At least 16 seconds, maybe a few more. But that would be definitely the goal, to get a 2:19 something and go from there. But it's not about me, Steph. It's about you. So let's go back to, 2017, the half marathon at Sunshine Coast. Was that a bit of a breakthrough to go second there at the Australian Champs?
Yeah, I didn't expect to do well. I didn't know who was in the field. I just wanted to run well. I ideally wanted to run a bit faster. Like, I think my best ever half, I've done Gold Coast in 1:16 something. So I guess that was sort of the goal time to do. And I'd been injured from March through to maybe about July when I did the goal, my first ever marathon. I hadn't been able to train properly, but after that, my foot, which had been the problem, had come good and actually been able to do some speed work, and I was starting to feel like I was getting a bit of form back. So, yeah, it was a big surprise to end up getting second. So obviously not a stacked field. Like, there was no Jess Trengove or anyone like very, very quick there. But it was still really nice and a really big confidence boost to run, I guess, what I would classify for me as fast again. So, it was, and I think momentum's a great thing, and I think it's those little confidence boosts that you can, that sort of propels you to the next step. So, that was a lovely, nice surprise to get second there. So I'm not sure, I don't know if it works this year, if I can go back with my schedule, but I'll try to, because I did enjoy that run. It was quite a good run.
Yeah, I haven't done that one myself, but yeah, it's definitely on the bucket list to get up. It's because it's in winter too. It'd be nice to get up to some warmer weather, I think.
Yeah, and that's why I did the Gold Coast Marathon, because I'm like, oh, perfect time to escape the winter here is go up to the Gold Coast in July. And I think that's why it's such a popular, like, that and the Sunshine Coast become so popular, because everyone wants to head north in the winter. So, I definitely recommend it as a good run. And, it was definitely a big confidence boost. And since then, it's sort of just been onwards and upwards, which has been nice.
So was that the debut at Gold Coast last year?
Yeah, that was my first ever marathon. I'd done a 50K the year before at Surf Coast, and I'd won that one outright, but I actually hadn't done a road marathon, and my prep was terrible for a Gold Coast marathon. I had, in the March of that year, I'd been picked in the Salomon Ultra Running Academy straight after 6 foot track. So I went over to America to Moab, which is in Utah, like in the middle of the desert, with the Salomon team, and spent a week running around the desert, which was awesome. But then a part of that event was running a 50-mile event on the last day to then pick who went to the next thing. And I'd never, like, ran more than 50K. And a lot of it was on sand, like at least 15Ks of it was on this really soft sand. And I finished and my foot swelled up, like, twice the size as it should have. And I came home, and even though I'm a physio, I was naughty, and I was like, no, it's not a bony injury, it's soft tissue, I can still keep running on it. I did the Canberra half on it, and it was even worse. I basically ran that on one leg. Really from April through May, I just had this swollen, sore foot that I kept trying to half run on / half cross train on. So really come June, I could do a little bit more proper running, but I definitely was limited in my training coming into the Gold Coast Marathon. So I was actually stoked. I did a 2:48, I think, which was so much quicker than I thought I'd be lucky to break 3 with my lack of speed work. So, very stoked to do a 2:48 there, and very excited to then go, well, if I can do that off that kind of prep, what can I do with some good prep? So I definitely got some. I would love to go low 2:30s in the marathon in the future. So that's definitely another bucket list thing that I'd like to do.
Yeah, so, and looking at those Gold Coast splits, it looks like it was pretty even as well. Like, you kind of lost a minute over the last 5K, but other than that, it's pretty smooth.
Yeah, I was pretty much, I was smack bang on, I think, like 3:55s or something like that almost the whole way through until I hit the wall at like 37K, and it was, yeah, you know what it's like. You lose so much time there. But looking back, you laugh. But, yeah, there's lots of – I'd love to – and certainly with 2020 Olympics, I'm definitely going to aim to at least spend a good 6 months not doing trail stuff and just focus on doing the best road marathon I can in the qualifying period just to see how close I can get. So, but yeah, I also obviously train hard for Berlin, but knowing like this year, but then I guess sort of more of a long-term planning, certainly in that that window of qualification, definitely trying to do a good marathon time and throw my name in the mix there and see what speed I've got.
Yeah. When you say training hard for Berlin, like what does that mean? What kind of mileage are we talking about?
So I normally sit around 160 to 180 Ks a week is pretty normal for me just during training. I'm a bit regimented, or not regimented, but my schedule each week is very much the same. The only thing that's changed is like if I'm doing tempo, like if I'm doing flat stuff on the road. So I did the Dubai Marathon earlier in the year, and in preparation for that, my midweek long run and my long run on a Sunday, I do lots of it sitting at 4 minute Ks. That was like my uncomfortable, comfortable pace. And I'd just try to do 25 to 30 Ks at that, and then I would do like maybe a bit of hills with some of the others just to tail it off. But if I was training, then after I did the Dubai Marathon, then I did, I was like, oh, I've got to work on hills now. So instead of doing so much tempo work, I would just be like, I'm just going to try to hit 1,000 metres of up in this run, or I'd try to do so much vertical, or, yeah, try to focus on, I guess, a bit more of the hills. So I guess my structure of the week is pretty much the same. Like I always do speed on a Tuesday. I try to do park run as another speed session on a Saturday, midweek long run. But it's just, yeah, I guess the type of running that I did. So I did lots and lots of tempo before my last marathon. Like I'd spend like 40 to 50 Ks in the week, like trying to keep like closer, like to well under 4 minute Ks, which is quick for me. While now, because I'm doing lots more, I've got lots of hilly races, I'm just going, all right, how much vertical can I do? Let's not worry about the pace. So,
yeah. And are you just working that 4 minute K pace on like feel, or kind of similar to marathon pace or heart rate, or where are you pulling that number from?
I guess it was the pace. I wanted to, I just started off being my goal time for Dubai before, and which I was on track for, was I really wanted to do a 2:36 marathon time was the goal there. And I'm one of those people that I never train pace wise as well as I perform in a race. So if I can, I know that if I tried to hold lots of that marathon pace, which is quite close to my 5K pace really, in training, I'll just burn myself out. So I find that I'm one of those people that I can do lots of mileage and a little bit, but lots of intensity really kills me. So I just find that 3:55 to 4 minute K pace and just doing a lot of it just sort of taught me to be comfortable at being uncomfortable, knowing that going into race day I'd be much fresher, and that would then replicate to like the 3:40 pace, which I was hoping to hold at the marathon. So yeah, I did just sort of pluck that number from the air, but it just ended up being, I would always go off the clock, and obviously my first kilometer I used to hate life because I was like just starting off nothing and then trying to run a 3:50 kilometer. Yeah. It's very difficult. But I used to make myself do it. And then but then after that I'd warm up and it would actually get quite comfortable. So I really found that tempo stuff made a big difference, and yeah, everything was on track for a good time at Dubai until other things had to be, but that's okay.
We'll get to Dubai. But first I want to go back to Moab, because I'm familiar. I heard an interview with the winner. Do they do a 200 mile there as well?
They do. They're a bit crazy. Yes.
Yeah. And a female won it outright this year. I'm trying to remember what her name was. She was on the Joe Rogan podcast and was really good to listen to.
Yes.
Yeah. But that Salomon Academy, kind of How does that come about? Like, how do you find yourself in this academy and then all of a sudden in America at this massive trail race?
It was just a whirlwind. Someone from Salomon in Australia had contacted me, Rob Lloyd, towards the end of the year before, because I'd ran the 22K at Ultra Trail and I'd beat Lucy Bartholomew, and she's obviously a huge name in trail running at the moment and is doing super well. And then I won this 50K outright, like I beat all the men as well. So then they contact me, do you want to be involved with our brand? And I was like, that'd be awesome. And then like, you should apply for this academy thing. They're looking for Oceania athletes at the moment. And I was like, sure, I did the like worst application ever. And they picked me. And that was, I think, 2 weeks after, I think the week before 6 foot track last year, I found that out. And then I think 2 weeks after 6 foot, I actually went over. So it was such a whirlwind, and it was such an amazing experience. Like, I'd never been to America, and they just flew us to the middle of the desert, and we just got to run around and just have a really great time. And I got to meet lots of Canadian athletes, American athletes, the whole Salomon team, some of their really top runners like Anna Frost and Max King, and it was just, I was very starstruck. So it was such a cool thing, and such a cool, like, I'd recommend going there, like, it's such a cool place. But I definitely wasn't ready for that 50-mile event in the sand. But the doors that it has opened since then, like, I'm now with Salomon and Sunto, and they've been super supportive, and I'm doing a Salomon Golden, they've started this Golden Trail Series event this year, and I'm going over to their first race in Spain. So it's just opened so many doors. So even though at the time I probably wasn't ready and I got injured, I think you got to run with those opportunities. They're once in a lifetime, and I've been so grateful since all the opportunities that I've had since then. So, it was pretty cool and just totally unexpected.
So good. And, like, compared to the road, it seems like there's a bit more support there for trails and opportunities to be involved with these brands a bit easier.
Yeah, because I certainly didn't know, the amount of support that I've got since then. I'm one of those people that used to run around in, like, a $10 singlet from Big W, and I'd wear shoes until they're, like, falling off my feet. And now to be supported by, like, I have more shoes than I ever knew what to do with. Like, I think I'm very lucky that my body's held together because I've been able to have such, I guess the support of being able to change my shoes whenever I like, because I've got such a good variety to choose from. And I'm not sure, Salomon itself is, they've got a really good, network, and they're very genuine. And the cool thing that I found about them when we went away was their little slogan was "time to play," and it was about getting out there and enjoying what you're doing and enjoying the experience of running, not just, I guess, focusing on a time. And that was really, refreshing as well. So, no, I've been super, super, super lucky with them to have their support. So, no, very, very grateful.
And was the 50 mile about 80K, was that like a selection? Like, was that the icing on the cake to make the team at the end of that trip?
Yeah, well, if you won it, if you're the first girl and the first guy, you were then picked to do, they were doing a race in Chamonix in, I think, 4 months' time, like in July. I got third girl, so I was still pretty happy with that, especially because I'd never run that far before. I remember running it like it was in the middle of this desert canyon, and I couldn't see anyone around me because it was everyone's so spread out by then. And I clicked over 42Ks, and I'm like, go, Steph, you've done a marathon halfway.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that's like.
That's right. So it was, it was just crazy. But it's all relative. I think halfway is still halfway. So even though looking back, I'm like, God, that was such a long, long run to do. I think all events, you just, once you're, in it, and it was such a good, I really wanted to do well in that to try to get into that next phase. But just wasn't quite prepared. But still got, I think you don't realize how tough you are or what you can do until you have to do it and you don't have a choice. And that was sort of my situation. So no, it was good. It certainly made me tough, and but it did make me hate sand for, like, I still hate sand.
Sand. And, like, with your mentality, does that make it easier to step down to the marathons?
Honestly, I found a marathon much harder. Like, the it's tricky. It's just a different type of hard. Like, training for the marathon, like the Dubai marathon, because that's probably the best prep I've had, was, I think the training was much harder, and like the race, I think, because you're just so much on the rivet, and in a trail event you're not, like, you're sure you have to go hard, like in the trail, in like 6 foot track I certainly went hard, but at the same time it's a different type of hard. I think the marathon, you're so much on that red line the whole time, like you're just tipping along it, and mentally you know you're going to get to a point where you're just, you're so cooked, but you're so, like, you're on track and you've got to hold on, while a trail event, because you're out there so long, it's just, yeah, I just don't think you're on the rivet as much, and what slows you down is different things rather than, you know, how much can my body handle. So no, they're just, yeah, they're they are quite different to train for. So and yeah, different. Yeah, I found a road marathon much mentally and physically harder than a trail event. So yeah, and that's just, well, I guess that's just me. So
yeah, we don't want to get too controversial with which one's harder. It's all
that's right. Yeah. Say they're both hard, and everyone who does them is amazing. But for me, I found that the mental side of a road marathon, and I guess you against the clock, is pretty tough.
So let's go to Dubai. Like, you've had a pretty busy 2018. We'll move on to your 2018 now, but kicked it off with a Dubai marathon in January. And it's not really a common marathon that a lot of Australians actually do.
No, so our group of us here, I guess my run family down here, the Sapphire Coast Runners, there was a group that wanted to do an international marathon, and one of the ladies used to work, Danella, she's our one of our run directors, she used to work in Dubai, and we all sort of pitched it, you know, we could stay on one of the fancy fronds over there, and as like a group it was going to be much I guess cheaper, the marathon, the time of year sort of worked out well for me. I just was like, is it flat and fast, because I wanted to run quickly, and it ticked those boxes. So yes, and then that sort of after Surf Coast last year, which was, I think September, October, I sort of focused, I think, that next 12 weeks on training for Dubai, with the goal of running a 2:36 was just the number. I'd done a 1:18 or 1:17 at Sunshine Coast Half Marathon. So I was like, well, with really good prep, with this firm time, maybe I could try to hit a 2:36 and at Dubai, and I was pretty much on track till 24K.
Because is that a bit aggressive, Steph, to just double your half marathon recent time?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, for myself and a lot of people I know. But in saying that, if you weren't in that good shape when you ran that half marathon, then you got yourself in better shape, maybe it is an accurate one.
And I don't have much drop off. Like, if you looked at my 5K to 10K to 21K.
Yeah.
The thing I definitely lack, and I'm definitely working on it right at the moment, is that top end speed that I don't have. If you looked, like, if you just looked at my best ever half marathons, like a 1:16, I should be able to run a 5K much quicker than 17 minutes. And I'm just, it's that I'm really good. Once I get to a pace, I can just hold it for a really, really long time. And I knew I would have some drop off, but I was like, oh, yeah, I definitely wanted to break 2:40 was the goal, with the goal of, all right, if I go through halfway in 1:18 and then just try to hold on, well, I was going to be happy with that in Dubai. So it was probably a bit aggressive thinking that, but at the same time, I was in the best shape I'd ever been in. So I was pretty confident going in. I'd done some quicker park runs. The body had held together through all my training. So everything was positive, and to 24K, like, I remember running through halfway in, I think, just under 1:18, thinking, with a group, there was me, another lady, and these two guys, and that one of the guys was pacing the girl, and I was just feeling, I was like, this is great. Like, I feel good. I feel comfortable. I'd started fueling. I was feeling really good. And then, it all fell apart a little bit, but that's okay. My partner had been sick. He'd got like a bit of a travel bug on the way over, and it decided to hit me at 25K in the marathon. So it wasn't very pleasant, but and it definitely knocked me around, and I was very crook afterwards and for the rest of the event. So I lost like 10 minutes in the last 10K and ended up in the medical tent. I'm going through that. The first half was a sign that my training was on track, and I looked up the time of the girl that I was running with, and I think she did a 2:37. So I think under 2:40 was definitely what I should have done. So I'm still trying to take the positives out of that and be that, you know, at the time I couldn't control that I got this bump, and the timing was very, very poor. But that my training had been good, and I have the capacity to run a good marathon, and I'm very excited to now, or when I do, let's say, run Berlin, to try to give it another crack and certainly get under 2:40.
Yeah, 2:47 on a bad day is not a bad result, is it?
At the time, though, I was devastated, especially when I was so sick, though, at the finish. Like, I was just happy to get to the end. But afterwards, I was a bit devastated. But then going, you know, the training was a good sign, and going through halfway feeling that good, and I'm like, you just got to, you know, you can't control everything, and you've got to take the positives as much. I'm like, I could, an old, like the Steph before would have beat myself up a bit more, but I think I've definitely learned that, you know, take the positives out of it, learn from the not so good bits and get better. And yeah, that's what I'm trying to do now.
Yeah, even I think people don't value as well like the experience of traveling and like being in race hotels and just out of your kind of normal environment, even if you don't have the race that you desired, just practicing those little things can be massive advantages going forward.
That's right, and just knowing how to travel, how to eat, and how to time your sleeping, and like the stress of the week going in, and trying to get all those things right. And we were quite lucky with Dubai. I think the time difference, it was like running in the middle of the day in Australia, so that wasn't too bad. And I think when I'd raced in America and I'd flown over there, it was like running through the middle of the night. So I think that was probably another contributing factor to why I got injured over there as well. So I've definitely, I think you can, you know, you get bitter or you get better. So I'm just, definitely like using all these experiences to learn and try to keep improving from there. And it's all those little, it's not like, you know, you can do the training, but you got to be able to travel, you got to be able to rock up on the day and actually perform. And there's so many extra things that isn't training that you've got to work on there. And lots of room for improvement, which is always a good thing.
And Dubai as an experience and a race, Steph, like, was it hard to talk me through how you got into it? Like, is it hard to get into and then the organisation of it?
No. I just entered as a normal person. And we all did that. And I just got, my bib made me be on the start line. So I didn't actually go in the elite start group, that they went an hour before everyone else in the dark. Like, and they were all from, like, they were all ran very, very quickly, as I'm sure you've seen. I wasn't on that start list, and I didn't want to be, because I was like, no, you know, even if I have an amazing race, I'm going to be like miles behind any of these people. So we all just started as a big group. An hour later, Dubai is just crazy. Like, I'd never been to somewhere like that before. It's just such a industrially built place. I'm someone who's probably a bit more comfortable with nature, but and being like with the trail running and those kind of things. And there wasn't any of that in Dubai, but it was such an experience. Like, we went to the world's biggest building. We ran the boardwalk around the Big Palm and four-wheel driving in the desert, so completely out of my comfort zone, which I think is probably a good thing. But and the marathon itself, I'd recommend if you wanted to do a quick marathon, because it's very fast, it's very flat, it's and quite well run. You have pretty much, you just run a tape, so there's not many U-turns at all. And yeah, so if you wanted to run a quick marathon, I'd say that it's probably a pretty good one. And from a weather perspective, it's their winter, so temperature wasn't too bad. And because we started fairly early too. So yeah, I'd say it's one if you wanted to run a fast flat marathon, it's not a bad one to consider in January. But and yeah, Dubai, it was, yeah, certainly experience. I probably want to go back, but and I'm very much looking forward to doing another marathon in a different location, so Berlin, which sounds awesome. But yeah, just totally different world over there.
Yeah, and it wasn't too, like you said, it wasn't that hot, but what kind of temperature are we talking? Because I think people get the image of Dubai and it's going to be, 35 on a cold day.
No, I think it started and it was cold. Like, I remember waiting before the start line. I was in a jacket and tights. I reckon it might have been 10 degrees. And by the time I finished, it might have been 18. So, yeah, and when the elite started, it was even colder. It was probably only 6 or 7 degrees. None of our days got above probably 28 when we were there. So it was definitely that's their winter. So it pretty much replicates Maroombilla's summer. So it was perfect in terms of training, because whatever I trained in here, it was it replicated over there. So yeah, certainly not 50 degrees or anything, not even close to that.
Yeah, oh, that's good. And let's move on to the other big result, well, the huge result, I guess, a 6-foot track, taking out the win there. And maybe, do you want to start and just lead us in with the 50K Snowy Mountains? Did you use that as a bit of a hit out beforehand? It's a bit, it's a pretty big event in itself to have those two so close together.
Yeah, so I always, the Into Adventure one, the first 50K one, one of my, the people I trained with, Steve, he said that this race was starting, that it was only in really just up the road for us, 2.5 hours away in Jindamyne, and it was if you entered early enough, it was only going to be $20. So it was just you should try to get in. So I didn't get the $20 entry, but I was no, that's good. To have a local event, it looked pretty awesome. The trail looked pretty amazing. I hadn't really been to Crackenback before, and worked out well 2 weeks before 6 foot. I was it would be an excellent hit out, and quite a few of our Sapphire Coast runners were going to go up. So it ended up being a really, it was a very wet day. But it was such an awesome trail. I'd certainly never run that before. The day before, we'd sort of gone mountain biking through Jindamyne, and that it had been super hot, 30 degrees, and then this massive storm came and it was wet and it was quite cold to run. But it was such a gorgeous, not single track, but a bit wider than single track trail that just went all the way up the hill. And it was such a nice gradual climb for 20K. Then you turn around and then it was a gradual descent, which felt really nice. And it was just such a gorgeous countryside and so different from Dubai, which was just hot and running along the road.
On a highway for 42K.
Yeah, that's right. And I just enjoyed it. I just had the best time. I think because I won that one outright, and I remember I didn't go out too fast because everyone always does. And then I knew the guy that ended up being the first man, he's a local runner from Bega, so I caught him at one point, so we chatted for a little while, and then I passed the other guy, and then I got to the guy, and I was I'm not sure if this person's just running on the trails or if he's doing the event. Anyway, I just chatted to him for a little bit and then kept going. But no, I just felt really comfortable and felt really good. And I practiced my fueling, because that's one thing I definitely have fallen down in events in the past, is not getting the right kind of fuel in. So my goal in this event was to practice my fueling I was going to do for 6 foot, and that worked really well. I finished and I didn't end up in a medical tent, which is always a good sign. And it was just, I just enjoyed it. It was such a nice, scenic 50K to do. It wasn't too hilly, and, it was nice and confidence boosting too. So, that was a really nice lead-in before the before 6 foot. So and then 6 foot went to plan, unlike the year before, which was a good thing.
Well, there's a bit of hype leading into it. I've started paying attention to it now. We covered it on the other podcast I work on, Inside Running, and I was just reading kind of some of the pre-race media releases and blogs, and it was kind of, it didn't seem like you were going to have it all your own way.
No, I think quite a, like, I didn't know really the other girls very much at all. Like, I knew, so the year before I'd known, I knew Marnie, the one that, the girl that won, and how good a runner she was. But going in this year, I try not to, that's another thing I've certainly known the last 6 months, is not worry too much about the, well, like, what other people are doing or how good other people are. And I've just been like, oh, you know, you can't control them, you just got to worry about yourself. But, I knew that there was definitely some good runners in the event, and there were people I'd raced before, and that there was it was going to be pretty close at the end. So, but at the same time, I was more excited. Like, I was going to see my family. Like, I hadn't seen them in a little while, and they were going to be at the because they live north of Sydney, so I was like, going to see them. And I remember last year I was quite disappointed, because I think I didn't run the race right, I didn't fuel right, and I sort of completely fell apart at the end. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back and I'm going to, you know, just race. I was going to my race, my pace, and I'm going to just, you know, do what I need to do to get to the finish line as best as possible. And, yeah, on the day, apart from the bus nearly not getting us there in time, I think it was about 5 minutes before the race started, the bus, because we were staying at the other end, like in Janolan House, arrived at like 6:55. So that was, I was like, ah, no time for warm-up, no time for anything, just, you know, got to get started. But, no, it was just a race where I just, everyone over, I'm not sure if you know the course very well, but everyone overruns the start. Like, the first 15Ks is pretty much downhill. You drop down 600 stairs, and then it's like a nice gentle downhill, and then single track down. You cross the river, and then you sort of come up like a brick wall with, like, the first hill is, I think, the steepest hill. And everyone just cooks themselves running down the hill, and then you hit a wall, and it's just, you've got so, you still got like 25 or 30Ks to go. So, and I just remember that from last year. And I was like, no, I'm like, I took my time down the stairs. I just cruised on the flat bits. I'm like, nope, don't need to chase now. You know, the race hasn't started yet. I just took my time all the way to the river. And then even on the first hill, I was like, nope, I'm just going to pace myself up it. And then I just, yeah, I was just like, the key is not to slow down, I think, rather than try to go too fast in an event like that. And then, yeah, I felt definitely in the last 12 months that my hill running is definitely improved. And I just, yeah, as the race went on, I just felt stronger and stronger. My eating plan went really well, so I felt like the worst thing is if you have a bit of a like a lull in your blood sugar as you're going up a hill. But I was just eating really consistently, and I was just, yeah, it's nice to just sort of pick people off. And yeah, I was good to run with a couple of guys near me that were going good pace. I just sort of jumped on the back of them, and yeah, I just felt stronger as it went on. And I'm a bit of a grandma on the descents. Like, I stack it quite a lot at home, just running around. And the last bit of the run down into Janolan House is really steep, and I just didn't want to have to sprint finish down this really gnarly descent at the end. So there was one bit where I was near another one of the other girls. I think she ended up being second. That I was like, nah, this bit more flatter runnable bit, I'm just gonna I've got to try to gap her here, because I don't want to be sprinting down this descent and, you know, fall over, break an ankle. So so I did that, so then I could tiptoe down the end and enjoy the finish. So yeah, I think definitely with that event is one that you learn from your first experience how to get it right the second time. So I'm sure some people get it right the first time. I certainly didn't. So it was nice to go back and get it right. So.
Yeah, and pretty historic race as well. Like, it's one of those, yeah, special races, I guess, in Australia that must mean a lot to have your name on the trophy.
Yeah, like, just it's because it's so famous. Like, I'd heard about it before I really knew about trail running, just from other people when I was growing up who said that they'd done it. And just the it's such a, it's sort of a bit like Ultra Trail Australia, that the vibe to it, like coming down the hill, and because all the crowd and spectators are in such a little area, you can sort of feel them as you get closer. And it's it was very special, and to have my family at the end was really nice. And yeah, it was just it was such a cool event to do. So I really I'll definitely, if I can, we'll go back again next year and do it again, because it is such a, and it's a good thing that I like it too, because it's a very runnable trail run. So some bits like UTA, so Ultra Trail Australia, some bits aren't runnable, like the 900 and whatever stairs at the end. You just have to hike them because your legs just can't run up them. And I'm not a fan of hiking. I like to run. And 6 foot track is definitely an event that you can run from start to finish. So that also suits me. So if you're going to do a trail event, I would recommend it.
Yeah, it might convert a few road runners out there.
Yes, definitely. Definitely just don't go too fast at the start.
Yeah, can you remember what position in the females you were throughout that start, Steph? Like how, yeah.
I think I hit the river, which is 15 k's in at about fifth. And I think I was about 4 or 5 minutes off the leader.
Wow, like, that's a lot of patience then, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably sounds like, but I didn't know. Like, no one gave me a time split going through. Like, you wade through the river and it's, like, chest height, so it's quite deep. And you pop out through the aid station, and I knew I was quite a bit behind the others, but at the same time I wasn't too concerned because I'm like, you've still got 30 k's to go, and I knew what hills were coming. So, yeah, I think – I'm pretty sure I was fifth and I was about 4 or 5 minutes behind, but yeah, at the same time, though, I was feeling good and I was like, you know, race starts now. It's much easier, I think, to chase someone than be chased. Mm. So
you come across as such a positive person when you race. Like, do you ever have bad days when you're out there racing? Like, I guess a Dubai story, but seems like you're really good at positive self-talk when you're competing.
Oh, I think that's certainly something I've started in the last 12 to 18 months. I used to be super negative. Like, if I had a bad race, especially like when I used to do tries or when I would do anything and I didn't get the time I wanted, I used to really beat myself up about it. But I've just found that since, like, it never got me better. Like, I used to do, I call the punishment runs. Like, if I'd do a crap race, I'd go then run like an extra 20k afterwards just because I was, you know, wanted to beat myself up a little bit. And then I was like, you know, Steph, that's so stupid, like, that's not gonna make you get faster, is it? So I've definitely tried to change my mindset and to try to take the positive out of everything. And I think that that's probably one of the reasons, especially in the last 12 months, that I've started to like improve again, is that I've just changed my mindset and what I want to do. And I'm trying to take a lot more, I guess, inspiration about from people around me. And yeah, I find that it's being around people that are all trying to achieve their goals, it is very contagious. And I would and I want to add to that. I don't want to take it away. And I'm certainly a person that has been very negative and been like, oh no, I'm like really beat myself up after an event and been really negative. I'm hopeless at this, I'm hopeless at that. But that's something that I've gone out of my way to try to improve because I knew that it wasn't making me better. And and I'm happy that that's an area that I've definitely seen that. I guess it's one of those extra 1%ers that if you can take the positive out of a situation or at least learn from the negatives, you're only going to get better. So that's one of the 1%ers I've tried to be ticking that box. So, yeah, it's something that I do have to work on, though, because I think we all go through stages. Like when going well, everyone's your friend and, you know, everything's great. And then we all go through those stages when, you know, things aren't going well and you're injured and things are down. And, yeah, I think just got to learn from those to make the good times even better. So that's what I'm certainly trying to do anyway.
Yeah, well said. And nutrition wise for like 6 foot track, what's that look like for a 45k trail run?
So I had 2 Clif Bars. I started at 10k. I was like, I'm gonna have a bite every two kilometers, I think, to start with. So I'm not sure how long it took, maybe it went through the first one by 20k, and then from 25k I started having the next one, and I had the world's most frozen I'll have some red and green frogs because that's what I'd had in the inter-adventure one, but they were so chewy that like the first one I really choked on, so I didn't have them. Like I tried to have what like towards the end just to boost my sugar a little bit, but I just nearly choked on it because it was that hard and chewy. And I'm like, bad choice, Steph. Should have softened them somehow. I don't know. But I'm one who doesn't like gels, and they really upset my stomach like a lot. And I'm not one who drinks very much at all when I race. So I basically drank nothing the whole race, which is terrible. But I find that as long as I fuel like little bits often, it's much easier. And I find it much easier to fuel in a long distance trail event than a marathon. So I think because your energy system, or just my theory anyway, that you're burning fuel slower, so you can have something that takes a little bit more to digest. So having a bar and something like that is a bit easier. Well, I think having a gel, which is a bit more of that instant sugar rush, you have that high, but then you also have that, you drop down a bit quicker too. So I've never found a gel that I can have well. So yeah, but definitely I've had many a race where I've just like hit the wall so bad because I haven't fueled properly. So I've just definitely an area I've worked on. And yeah, I found Cliff Bar in the 6 foot track and all their trail events, having the two Cliff Bars for 50k, and then just fluid if I feel like it if it's hot during the event is what's worked for me. And I haven't found what's worked for me in a marathon yet, but I will.
You will come September.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I will practice. I probably didn't practice enough with that. So that's something, another area that I'm definitely going to work on.
Yeah, for sure. And like Steph, obviously, you know, we're 3 months into 2018. You've had a pretty successful campaign early on in the year. But what else is now between now and Berlin?
So next weekend I'm going to do the Buffalo, to Mount Buffalo. And the Buffalo Stampede is 75, and I'm not doing that. But I'm doing the 20K on the Friday and the 42K on the Sunday. So I
think
big
weekend still.
Yeah, and the park run on the Saturday. So the priority. So I'm very much looking forward to doing that. So that's going to be a really nice triple for me. There's lots of vertical though, which is I think in the 20K, there's 2,000 metres of up and 2,000 metres of down. So I'm like, oh, I don't know, like maybe there's ladders or something, because that's a lot of up and down. But no, I'm very much looking forward to that. And then the 42K, I think it's 3,000 metres of down and 2,000 metres of up. So there's a lot more down than up, which is good. I'm like, I'll take that. And then I've got Ultra Trail Australia 50K in May. I think that's the 19th or 20th. And then the week later, I'm doing the first Salomon Golden Series race over in Spain. So it's a 42K one in the Basque region. So I think that's in northern Spain. So I booked my flights for that, which is pretty exciting. So so that's sort of my next, like, so then at the moment I'm just focusing on getting really good at going up and down hills to prepare for those events. And then between after that, I'll come home, recover a little bit, and then I'm going to do the Rafferty's run, because that's right near my, it's an excuse to go home, so see my family. That's in July. I don't think I'll do Gold Coast half. I'll do the Rafferty's run instead, because they're quite similar in date. And then I think I'm doing, there's an event, the OCC, which is part of Ultra Trail Mont Blanc, is 2.5 weeks before Berlin Marathon. So it's a 56K one. So it'll be a nice final hit out.
Yeah, last long run.
Yeah, that's right. Perfect. A nice hilly long run. And then I'll do Berlin. So at the moment, that's the plan. So I think, that after I go away to Spain, I'll definitely come back, and my other goal, I guess, in that time will be trying to break 17 for 5K, to try to, and maybe get a 10 or a 21, like a fast 10 or 21K in there as well, just to, because obviously being able to run 5Ks quicker is going to make, you know, you run a marathon quicker. So, so definitely just, work on a bit more speed there. But over the next probably 6 weeks, it'll all be about hills. So, which is good.
Sounds like building some really good strength for the, for the roads and the trails.
Yes, yeah. And I think there's so much crossover. Like when I was just training for Dubai, I just was avoiding hills like the plague. Like I'd see a hill and I'd turn around. I was like, nope, don't need to do a hill. But then when I started doing hills again, because I was like, oh, you know, 6 foot's coming up, I felt that there was so much transition, like I just was powering up the hills. And I think there's so much crossover. It's like, you know, after you do hill reps, because you're just recruiting so much more muscles, then you have to, if you're not too fatigued, if you go then do a flat effort, you've got, you know, you're just recruiting so many more muscles and you run better. So I think they definitely complement each other. So yeah, I'm definitely happy to have a foot in both camps.
Yeah, for sure. Both flags. And Steph, the final question I always ask people is, do they have a mantra or a life philosophy or a quote that they try and live their life by? I know you've been full of positivity this whole conversation tonight, but yeah, I'm really interested to see and if you've got something.
I guess maybe it's just something that, there's probably a couple of things, but I guess one thing that I've certainly learned in the last year, and especially I guess since starting work, is that to give the best to other people, you have to give the best to yourself as well. And that's not being selfish. That's just, if you give the best to yourself and you be able to, you can then give your best to other people. And I think I'm very lucky that I work in a job where you get to help people and you can be inspired by the people that you work with, not all the time, but like quite a lot of the time. And by taking care of yourself and, you know, and enjoying what you're doing, then you're not, you know, I think that's the most important thing for everyone. So regardless of what you do, you got to enjoy it. And you've got to, I guess, and I think your health is really important. And if you prioritize that and you take care of yourself, then you can give your best to other people and you can give your best in whatever domain you want it to be, whether it be your work or your running or anything. So yeah, take care of yourself and then, yeah, and try to inspire other people to do the same thing. So yeah, that's probably...
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Certainly in the last 6 months, I've definitely tried to remind myself and to reiterate. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good reminder for me as well. I'm one of those guys that likes to do a lot of things okay and nothing well. And it's worth slowing down sometimes and thinking about it.
Yeah, and I think just it's better, I think, the quality of things, like just... I've just found that I'm like, if you spread yourself so thinly, you just don't do anything well. So a bit of quality goes a long way. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And Steph, if people are interested, where can they follow you online or Strava or what kind of handles can you throw out to us?
Yeah, I'm on Strava because I'm doing Run Down Under. So I'm virtually running around Australia and that was why I got onto Strava.
And you're a professional athlete on Strava. There'd be a few people jealous about that, me included. Yeah, when did that label arrive?
Well, I just applied for it, so you should just apply for it too. I was just like, I wonder if I could get the, to be considered as professional, and I just sent my some of my trail running stuff in, and they're like, within 24 hours, they're like, yep, no worries at all. You could be like a premium, like Strava Pro, and I was like, oh, this is, I'm like, I don't think I earned this, but that's okay. So I'll just say, just try to apply.
I'll try that. Thanks for the heads up, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm on Instagram. I think I'm Steph.Austin or Steph_Austin. And I have a little blog and I've just been in Tasmania running around, so I've just tried to post lots of photos about all the cool places to run in Tassie. but the main one, I guess, is probably just, I'm on Strava and I'm on Instagram as, Steph.Austin. So, yeah.
Awesome, Steph. Thanks for your time. And I'm sure the listeners got a lot out of that. I certainly didn't. Look forward to just following the journey going forward because, it seems like, as I said at the start, you're a bit under the radar and we're kind of getting a bit of a sneak peek of maybe the story a bit early before it develops into a big show.
Yeah, just to know.
Cross our fingers.
That's right. All you got to do is enjoy the journey and then you'll just, no matter the destination, it'll be hopefully not too bad a one.
What a way to end on. Thanks again, Steph, for your time.
No worries. Thank you.
Hold on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.